Good morning. I want to thank you for worshiping with us today. And this special day, I want to thank all the mothers today. Thank you for what you do. So if you're a mother, don't get up. Just raise your hand. All right, let's give it up for the mothers today. We appreciate everything you do, especially putting up with us guys. That's a lot of work, I know. I don't know who said that. Well, I got some good news and I got some bad news for you this morning. The good news is you finally responded to give me your favorite sermons to preach on out of the Bible. The bad news is you give me so many, I don't know how I'm going to get them all done. That's my problem. We'll take care of it. You can raise your hands, Bill. I can see you now. Well, I was hoping one of you or some of you would pick some ladies out of the Bible. And you did. You picked Hannah and you picked Ruth and Naomi. So I'm going to preach on Ruth and Naomi this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Ruth. It comes right after Judges. And while you're turning there, let me tell you about the woman who didn't do her everyday task that she usually does. The kids made a mess in the house, so she just left it. They took permanent markers and marked all over the walls. She didn't do anything about it. When they had finished eating dinner and supper, the kids, she just left all the meals and what was left over on the table, and she didn't bother doing any of the dishes. And her husband came in, and much to his surprise, the house was a mess. And he says, "What have you done all day?" And she said, "You ask me that every day, what I do every day. Well, today I didn't do anything, and now you know." Ladies, you probably feel like that sometimes. Because I don't think that us men really realize what all you ladies do. You guys do a lot, I know you do. And you ladies that work for the church and the community, you go beyond the tour of duty to make things work around here. So I appreciate what you do at home and here and in the community. As we come to the book of Ruth, most of the time you think of the character Ruth because the Bible's named after her name. And Ruth seems to be the main character in the Bible. When it comes to the book of Ruth. But I want you to know today, I think Naomi kind of gets a bum rap sometimes. Because Naomi is one of the key characters in the book of Ruth, and she leaves a legacy for all you ladies to grab hold of. A legacy of faithfulness to pass down to your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids and on down the line. Have you ever thought about the legacy that you're leaving to those who come behind you? Let's talk about Naomi this morning. So if you have your Bible, I want us to grab a hold of some lessons that we can learn from this book, especially with the character Naomi. So follow along if you will. I want to read verses 1 through 5. But the first lesson in your bulletin, if you're following along, is this. When life seems to turn against you, just know you're not alone. Amen? You're not alone. Because if you're hurting this morning, I like what Mike had to say, if you're hurting this morning, there's a lot of other people that are hurting also. Some people reveal and some people keep it in, but I think Naomi has a lot to say to us this morning. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women. One was Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her sons and her husband. From the outset, you need to know that this was a very dark time in Israel's history. And the very last verse of Judges, flip back your pages one or two. In Judges 21:25, it reads, "In those days, Israel had no king, so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes." And they did. Can I add to that? And people do today. People are doing whatever they want to do. If it feels good, do it, right? If everybody else is doing it, do it, right? They had a prom last night, and I thought about sneaking into the prom and see if all the kids were behaving themselves, because one of my kids were there. I decided not to do that. But sometimes you just wonder, what do people do? Sometimes they do whatever they want. I was talking to some people that work at the prison yesterday when we went to the graduation for Mitchell yesterday evening. And from my experience of talking to prison employees, they have told me that only 11% of the people that go into prison come out rehabilitated. 11%. Now that's not very good. Matter of fact, there's 88% of the people that are not being rehabilitated. Now, I don't know if that's America's fault or our government's fault, or we can blame it on the state of Illinois. That's a good place to blame, especially up further north. Amen. Any amens there? We can do that. But I have noticed that in our world today, people just do whatever they want. The Bible also says that Israel had no king at that time, so they pretty much relied upon the judges to make a decision. Hopefully that was the right decision. But they wanted a king for years and years. They wanted a king, and they finally got one. There was Saul, but this was not Saul's day yet. And they pretty much did whatever they want. One of the problems that Naomi had here was a moral issue. Going into the country of Moab, Moab was a country that was against Israel. They didn't worship Yahweh. They worshiped all these other pagan gods, and they were right in the midst of it. And I want you to know, when you're in the midst of pagan deity, there's a real temptation to fall or succumb to the temptation of pagan deity. It happens all the time, but the Bible says that there is only one God. Only one. Naomi was in the midst of a situation to her disadvantage. Not only had her husband died, not only had her sons died, but now she was in Moab, where Yahweh was not worshipped, at least not very much. And her family dies, and she's left alone. You also need to know a little bit about widows in 1300 BC. Even today, we neglect the widows sometimes, don't we? But the Bible says don't do that. But in Naomi's day, it was even worse. Widows were ignored. They were second class in that day, and they didn't care for them. They were pretty much on their own. And now, can you imagine, we have Naomi and Ruth and Orpah, and they're all widows. And they're trying to make it in a land where Yahweh is not worshipped. And there's a lot going on against these women. I want you to know that. But I also want you to know that God welcomes all people that worship Him. Whether it's in Israel, whether it's in Moab, or whether it's in Lawrenceville, Illinois, God welcomes everyone to come and worship Him. He loves that. Friends, I want you to know these ladies had it rough. They had it rough. What do you do when you have it rough? What do you do when things seem to be against you and you can't seem to win? My advice to you is keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Friends, it's easy to be faithful in the good times, but it's not so easy to be faithful to God in the most difficult times, when the finances are low, when there's troubles in your relationship, when the sickness is prolonged. And when you don't know what tomorrow brings, and in all reality, none of us know what tomorrow brings. As a matter of fact, each and every one of us, or hopefully not all of us, could be killed on the way home today. It could happen. We could fall over a heart attack. We had somebody on our prayer list this morning. They died. Well, what happened to them? I know who they are. Well, they died of a heart attack. It happens. I want you to know today that we don't know about tomorrow. James 4:14 says, "You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What's your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will that we live and we do this or do that, as it is, we boast, but such boasting is evil." And maybe you're here this morning and life has turned against you, and I want you to know you're not alone. It happened to Naomi. It happened to Ruth. It happened to Orpah. It happened to Job and his family. It happened to Jesus' disciples. And above all else, it happened to Jesus himself, who died on a cross for our sins. And I want you to know, if you're going through troubles and tribulations this morning, I want you to know that you are not alone. I've been around a lot of hurting people in my life. And sometimes I wonder how they put one foot in front of the other. But I want you to know, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, no matter what we're going through. Second lesson we learned from Naomi is this: when life is unfair, you can become better or you can become bitter. Beginning with verse 6, it says, "When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughter-in-laws, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as he has shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will rest in the home of another husband.' Then she kissed them. They wept aloud, and she said, and said to her, 'We will go back with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and even gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remarry for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me.' At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. 'Look,' said Naomi, 'your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.' But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God.'" Good to underline that. "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the two women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab and accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now, a couple things from this passage that are worth noting. First of all, Ruth stays with Naomi, her mother-in-law, and serves God in Bethlehem, but Orpah decides to go back to Moab, never have to been heard of again, and obviously probably ended up not accepting Yahweh as her Lord and Savior. We don't know that for sure, but she went back to a pagan nation. The second thing that happens here, Naomi decides to change her name. Now, I told you a few weeks ago, you're going to get a new name. My name's going to be Maximus. I don't know what it's going to be. My mom's here this morning, so I can't say anything against Carson. So I'll be careful of that. But Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara," which means bitter. She's bitter. Now notice, if you look at the text, she blames God. I want you to be honest with me this morning. How many of you have ever blamed God before? One person? Two persons? Well, we're up to five. Well, I want you to know, I think all of us have at one point or another in our life. We've all blamed God, and we've all had spouts of bitterness. Whether you accept it or not, we've all struggled with bitterness. It happened to Naomi, And I want you to know it can happen to you, because sometimes life is just unfair. You've heard the old saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Well, I love that saying, but it's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do. But God's Word has a lot to say about bitterness. If you're struggling with that this morning, pay attention to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. The Hebrew writer says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up in you, causing trouble for you and corrupting many." So your bitterness, it doesn't just hurt you, it hurts the people around you. How many of you have seen that happen? Maybe in your own life, maybe in the life of the church, maybe in society today, we see people that are bitter, and not only does it hurt them, and it also affects your health. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with bitterness, I want you to know it is affecting your health. It is keeping you from being healthy. It's not on your outlines, but Paul says in Ephesians 4:31, write it down, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." And then he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And while Naomi obviously struggles with bitterness, she does not fail to leave a legacy of faith to her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And Ruth is eventually blessed because of Naomi's faithfulness to God. If you're here this morning, you're struggling with bitterness, get into God's Word. Learn to pray every day and find your place of prayer. Go to a place that is away from everyone else and pray to your God in heaven. He wants to know that you really want to talk to Him. How many of you have a favorite place to pray? Just one person? Okay, we're up to five now again. We got that current number five keeps rolling on. Someone told me one time, when you're going through struggles, pray like mad and row toward shore. There's a lot of truth to that. Keep on praying. I absolutely love 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. Write it down. "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And when I'm down and out, and when I'm struggling, one of the best things that I do is get in my car and go visit someone that's hurting just like I am. And maybe that's you this morning. And you can go home and you can climb in your corner and you can find your favorite chair, or maybe even your favorite verse of the Bible. But I have found that when you're hurting, when you're struggling with something, go help somebody else. Go help them. But the choice is ultimately yours. You can become better, or you can become what? You can become bitter. The third and final lesson we learned from Naomi is this: trust in God's provision even when it doesn't feel He's listening. My wife will often say to me, "Are you paying attention?" And I will admittingly say, "No, I'm not." Or when the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing football, you can talk to me and I might act like I'm listening to you, but in all reality, I'm really not listening to you. Any other football fans here? When your favorite team's playing, you are a one-track person and you're focusing on the game. That's who I am sometimes. I don't know how many times I've read it, but Lamentations 3:44 comes true a lot. At least I feel it does. "Lord, you have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through." Lord, you have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through. Have you ever prayed to God and God didn't answer your prayer? At least God didn't answer your prayer the way you want Him to. How many, you ever prayed that prayer? God didn't answer your prayer, but years down the road you say, "Oh, God answered my prayer. He just didn't answer my prayer the way that I wanted Him to." Well, there's something we need to realize in this world today. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. And sometimes we don't always understand God's will and His way, but I want you to know today that God is still God and God is still on the throne. And I want you to know this: someday He's going to make all things right. All things. We pray for ourselves, we pray for our families, we pray for our church, we pray for our nation. And sometimes God listens to us, at least we think He's listening to us, but sometimes He has selective hearing and He answers prayers the way He knows best to be answered. Why do bad things happen to good people? Can I just tell you the theological answer? I have no idea. But here's the long answer. And we don't like to hear the long answer very often. We live in a fallen world. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, it affected every single one of us, because all of us, according to Romans 3, fall short of the glory of God in our sinfulness. But I want you to be reminded of the words of Job in Job 13:15. Lord, though you slay me, I will still trust you. I love Job because the reason I love him so much is I am so not like Job. Anyone else? I am so not like Job. Lord, though you slay me, still I will trust you. Sometimes I have trust issues. Sometimes you have trust issues. And why God is working the way is we don't understand it. But we'll understand it in the sweet by and by. I wish I had an ounce of Job's tremendous faith, because I could sure use it from time to time. Now, I don't have time to read chapters 2 through 4 of Ruth, but let me tell you a little bit about what happens. Naomi and Ruth, they go back to Bethlehem during the grain harvest, and Ruth meets up with a wealthy guy by the name of Boaz. And to make a long story short, Boaz marries Ruth, and Boaz is rich and he's prosperous, and Ruth is blessed through Naomi because of her faithfulness. And they give birth to a son by the name of Obed. And Obed later on has a son. His name is Jesse. And Jesse has a little son, his last son, by the name of King David. And if you keep going, Ruth is in the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you look at the big picture of Naomi and Orpah and Ruth, you can't understand what all's going on, but God is working through this entire story. And that entire story leads to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want you to know today, if it wasn't for Naomi and Ruth, we would not be here this morning. We would not be here. Ladies, I want you to know, you are leaving a legacy to your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. And when people see you, they need to see Christ in you, because they need to leave that legacy to their kids and their grandkids and their great-grandkids. And if Ruth had not accompanied Naomi to Bethlehem, we would have stayed home this morning. I don't think Naomi could see God working in her life, but He was. And maybe you're here this morning and you can't see God working in your life, but I want you to know, if you are faithful to Him, if you are faithful in prayer, if you are faithful in the Word, if you are faithful in church, I want you to know God is going to work good things in your life. Does God always hear our prayers? I believe He does. Does He always answer our prayers? I believe He does, but not always in the way that we want Him to be answered. Is He listening? Can He hear? Is God getting old? Is His ears getting bad? No. Keep praying. Keep praying and row towards shore. And hold on. Everybody say, hold on.
Hold on.
I'm glad when you say that. Learn to trust in Him, even when you don't understand. Learn to put your faith in Him, even when He don't always give you all the answers. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is one of Ching and I's favorite verses. And man, has it ever rang true during this time? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. The Bible doesn't say that He make your paths easy. But it does say that He will make your path straight if we just trust Him. Did I tell you I have trust issues? How many of you have trust issues sometimes? I want to encourage you today to trust in the Lord even when you don't understand. Trust in the Lord when it doesn't seem like God is listening to you. Trust in the Lord when it seems like God is not answering your prayers, at least the way you want your prayers to be answered. Keep trusting Him. Naomi and Ruth trusted in God even when it looked bad, it looked terrible, their future looked grim, but they trusted in God anyway. Let me encourage you today, no matter what's going on in your life, trust in God. and make sure that you are leaving a faith behind you for your kids and your grandkids so they'll trust in God. And when things go bad, and sometimes they do, they'll still trust in God. Ladies, I want to encourage you this morning, learn to trust in the Lord. Because in the end, you win. You win. Let's make sure we leave a legacy of faith to those who come behind us. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for all these mothers sitting here today, and their life's not always easy. Sometimes it's exceptionally hard. Lord, it's hard to trust when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we know there is a light because Jesus Christ is the light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, if there's somebody here that's not a Christian, their light's not even started to glow yet. Lord, I pray that during Mother's Day, I can't think of a better time to give their life to Christ. Lord, if there's a mother here today that's struggling, needs prayer, Lord, I pray that you'll ask her to come forward. We can pray for her family, so that they too can leave a legacy of faithfulness. Lord, I pray a special prayer upon the mothers today. I pray that you will bless them in a most dramatic way today. Lord, I pray that you'll help them have a good day. And even if it's a difficult day today, Lord, I pray that you'll help them to trust you and to lean on you, even when we don't understand. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.